Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my Lady of Excellence, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and Erev Tov, and blessings to all as we conclude our series on the church age, so nicely laid out in Revelation 2 and 3. But let's open our program by praying for our country and to covet His presence.
Almighty Father, we beseech Thee and forever adore You. May Your light ignite within us to expose any areas needing Your disinfectant. We shake off any clinging dirt from the world's transgressions and humbly bow down and exalt Your holy name and all Your names. And may justice be upheld in America. We pray for the salvation of our loved ones and a quick recovery for any sick amongst us and for our recent prayer requests. Bless Your people, Abba Father, as we give You unfettered thanks for our numerous blessings. We pray in the name of Your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we have an announcement.
Yes, we do. As most years, we will be taking a short sabbatical for the holidays, just during the month of December. We'll be back on January 5th, Georgia's election day for the Senate.
Yes, an extremely important date for the conservatives.
And by then, we'll know who our president is, so to then move on and adjust our prayers accordingly. President Trump's lawyers insist they have the necessary, yet not yet revealed, total evidence to turn over to the Supreme Court. Not to the court of public opinion, which would allow the enemy to adjust its strategy.
Yeah, I hear Sidney Powell now is working on her own.
Yes, which could prove beneficial. She says she has epic evidence of biblical proportions.
Well, we should see something by Monday, I would suppose.
If so, I will address it in our upcoming newsletter that should be sent out by Tuesday. So please keep her in your prayers, especially for protection. In the meantime, we have Newsmax, Lou Dobbs, Maria, and Hannity. They still seem to be fair, and many other news channels on the web, some we have to pay for.
Which, of course, adds to our expenses.
Yeah, so please be generous with your Christmas love offerings this year, and we promise to thank God for you. Bottom line, even now with the Biden transition, it's just still not over yet.
News about Israel.
Yes, we have some. Prime Minister Netanyahu, along with Secretary of State Pompeo, visited Saudi Arabia last week to discuss Iran and Saudi Arabia's probable entrance into the Abraham Accords. This would give President Trump one last victory on the Middle East road to peace. I'm sure it's not just that Saudi Arabia wants to make nice with Israel, though.
Well, I think they're planning something against Iran.
I agree. They both know that Biden will kiss Iran's cheek, and the Arabs need Israel to be in the mix. Remember Isaiah 17:1 that says Damascus will become a heap of ruins in the latter days? Well, Damascus is the headquarters to Iran's large advisory board. And by the way, everyone knows Iran already has nuclear weapons. So this new alliance called the Abraham Accords, well, they want to decapitate any possibility of Iran using them. So, why are we really pulling many of our troops out of Iraq?
Well, perhaps it's to get them out of harm's way.
That is a thought.
Mm-hmm. And now the Palestinians want to make a deal with Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as Biden is president, mm-hmm. who, like Iran, know Biden's team will give the PA what they want, to include East Jerusalem as the capital of their new state, which has been prophesied for thousands of years by Ezekiel and Joel.
Well, the question is when.
Yeah. So would it be under a Biden administration, or will it be prolonged under a continuing Trump administration because the Palestinians won't deal with Trump?
Better put, how soon do you want Jesus to call us home?
I know, right?
Either way, it's a win-win.
Actually, when you have Jesus, every day is a win-win.
Good comeback.
Just relax, everybody, and show God that you trust him no matter the outcome. And you had better apply that to every aspect of your life. You know, he never promised us a rose garden every day.
Yes, he did. In the millennial kingdom.
Cute. And one more thing. Under a Biden administration, any hopes for the release of John Durham's report to indict any key players in that Russian hoax? Well, that's down the drain, which is why Durham, who was appointed by AG Bill Barr, continually stalled, since they both are from the deep state. Really, they are. And so they certainly knew the election would be rigged.
It's been planned for a long time.
And President Trump and most others know only too well who runs the world. It's a satanic globalist agenda, and Trump was a nationalist from day one and obviously could not be persuaded or bought like the Bidens and so many others can be. But again, our hope is in the Lord and on his timetable, not ours. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. And we very much welcome your end time questions, either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please tuck in a love offering to help with our many expenses, and God will bless you for it. As well, we'll add your name to receive our informative newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, containing a boatload of teachings with all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Yes, okay, well, last week we left off with the Church of Thyatira, the first one-world religion.
And another is right around the corner.
Yes, it's ready to go, which is why we must leave. Thyatira was a universal or Catholic church, and by 606 A.D., the spiritual leaders, who were called bishops then, would now give allegiance to a pope who had two titles, one political, but was also the overseer of spiritual matters.
And that will happen again.
For sure, because the Bible says it will. The Antichrist or the beast will rule over the one world harlot church who sits on this beast in Revelation 17, along with his appointed sidekick called the false prophet, who could be the leader of the Jesuits, who is called the Black Pope, and who will have a leadership role.
But his power is limited.
Yes, unless he's in the beast's presence. So here, too, the Antichrist plays two roles, where all countries will bow down to him and kiss his ring.
Well, many already do.
Anyhow, by the 14th century, there was lots of turmoil.
Yeah, popes were actually fighting with other popes.
Immorality and corruption increased, and more inquisitions.
Sounds like the spirit of Jezebel.
Well, Jesus mentions her in verse 20. It turns out the people thought a bad pope was better than no pope at all and still believed this universal church was the only channel of God's will. So therefore, the pope, well, he was essential. But by the early 15th century, two men rose up to challenge this church.
One was John Wycliffe.
Yes, who translated the Bible into English.
And John Huss,
who, after reading it, was thrown into prison for 8 months and then burned at the stake in 1415 for heresy against the Catholic Church, who issued the gruesome papal bull. And since Pope Gregory the 12th ruled even over the king, he had the final say.
Proving he's political as well.
So they burned John and used his writings as well as Wycliffe's as fuel for the haystacks that were roped around him.
Wow. We should never complain again about anything.
You think? But God gave John a prophecy while he was burning. Yes, while dying, he proclaimed as his final words,
"In 100 years, God will raise up a man who calls for reform cannot be suppressed."
Almost exactly 100 years later, in 1517, Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses of Heretical Theology and Crimes of the Roman Catholic Church onto the church door at Wittenberg on Halloween, no less.
Well, the prophecy of John Huss had come true.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you think I'm picking on the Catholic Church, let me say that the next church, which represents mainline Protestantism, even though they broke away, they too have some major problems.
And by the way, their letter has no commendations.
Right. It's the church in Sardis, which actually means remnant.
And they're still here today.
Mm-hmm. They broke away from the Catholic Church in 1517 for an all-grace theology, you know, the Reformation.
However, it's dead orthodoxy.
Right. No spirit means most of them not saved. Head knowledge only, and not looking expectantly for Jesus. Prophecy and the gifts are ignored for the most part, with some exceptions today. Organized Protestantism had many disagreements because Jesuit wolves in sheep's clothing soon infiltrated to cause division on purpose, which is why we have so many denominations today. So anyhow, let's read the church at Sardis, that's Revelation 3, beginning in verse 1.
"And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect."
Perfect isn't the greatest word. The original actually says fulfilled.
Before God.
Mm-hmm.
"Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour."
The Greek word is horon. It just means a time or a season.
"I will come upon you."
Which gives you the idea that we can know approximately and implores us to be watching. Coming first as the bridegroom for his bride, and then later as a thief at the end of the tribulation.
"You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy."
And that's why Jesus can still call them a church.
"He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Again, he does not come to the bride as a thief. And he does not come on the unbelievers as a bridegroom. The heart of the message is, if they refuse to leave this dead orthodoxy, they will miss the Lord's coming as the bridegroom. And again, they received no commendations.
And still, the mainline Protestant churches are not fervently looking for him.
Mm-hmm. Sardis once was a powerful city, but slowly died out. But then, here comes our church, honey.
Yes, the Philadelphia Brotherly Love.
That's right, from about 1730, and it's still here. Only church to open up with a different title of Jesus Christ that's not listed in chapter 1. And it's the only church, other than suffering, Smyrna, that has nothing bad said about them, where all the others has the flare of judgment. But here it speaks of his holiness and truth. No criticism, no judgment, and a great promise in verse 10.
Revelation 3:7. And to the church, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you.
Now here comes the best part.
Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Mm-hmm. This was the Holy Spirit revival time. John Wesley, George Whitefield, and it's around this time, early 1700s, that they came to America and birthed the missionaries with the key of David.
Meaning key of authority.
Mm-hmm. Who opens and no one shuts, and open he did. With the birth of revival in China, Japan, Korea, Africa, Russia, all through the church at Philadelphia. Other names like Finney, D.L. Moody, William Carey to India.
And then the church gets lazy.
Mm-hmm. Approximately 1950, and still is, called Laodicea, which means to rule by the people. And, you know, the Nicolaitans, remember that was rule over the people? Well, now it's they made their own judgments. And they was literally in the area of Turkey today, and it's a city named after the wife of Antiochus II. Her name was Laodice, and of course that means a gossip. So I'm going to read myself Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14, the church at Laodicea, and make some comments. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, what this means is that they were useless in his service. It had nothing to do with salvation, just that he couldn't use them. Verse 17, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. It's interesting that Laodicea was also famous for their great eye salve. And verse 19, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, so lukewarm actually means lazy for service unto him. Some with only a head knowledge, I'm assuming, Matthew 7:22 addresses that fact. And people in this church make their own rules to live by. Today, many couples refuse to believe that sex before marriage is a sin, and homosexuality isn't a sin either. It's the last day's church, needs nothing, noted for its pleasures, will write down Christian on an application, but extremely worldly. Laodicea was a city of great wealth, was sort of a Las Vegas vacation town. Main industry was financial banking and clothing, especially of black wool, very expensive. And they had a great medical school famous for its ISAV, which is why Jesus used that analogy to open their eyes. Well, today, it's a heap of ruins. And Jesus says nothing good about them. In fact, he tells them how to get saved, because many were not. As verse 16 says, he's on the outside, knocking to get in. So let me ask you, do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart, or are you a Laodicean? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. You know, we all know 2020 has been a difficult and crazy year. We realize how little control we have over things, how much we take for granted. We watch how those that don't know Jesus have increases of anxiety, depression, anger, and just pure meanness. And it's skyrocketing. We're having to deal with COVID, boredom, the election, fires, floods, hurricanes, travel restrictions, shutdowns, failing businesses, loss of jobs, protesters, and rioters. But in all this chaos, we the church must remember to take care of ourselves, exercise, eat healthy, take nutritional supplements, and still do things for fun, find things to laugh about, stay in close touch with those you love, agree to disagree, count your blessings, and keep looking up. We can all find something to be thankful for each and every day. So be sure to share that joy this Thursday as you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Also, have a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. And we'll be back on January 5th. God willing, of course. I want to leave you, as always, with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. And be sure to pray and fast for God's will in the finality of these election results. Step back and just know that God's still ultimately in charge. He loves you. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell him that he's coming back soon. Be that evangelist that God expects you to be. We can all have that gift should we want it. God bless you. Till next year, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.